Let us pray. Dear Lord, it is a privilege and joy to come before you. And it's our desire to come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Lord, we want to hear you. We want to know you. So we commit everyone into your hand. We ask that your Holy Spirit touch our hearts, touch our life, and change us. We commit ourselves into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I talked to a sister, and she remembered I talked about 5W. I talked about all these stumbling blocks, worries, weakness, wrong, wounds, and wants. But I don't think we should focus on our personal experience, because that is not the purpose. You may feel worried, you may feel weak, you may feel you are bothered by sin, but let's not focus on that. We should focus on knowing God through all these difficulties or experience. So let me put an example. If we look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse 12 to 14. It is this passage talk about Abraham offered his son Isaac to God. And what is after this, what did he learn? Let's look. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. So in the beginning, God asked Abraham to offer his son. But when he was about to offer his son, the angel stopped him. Stop! Now the Lord knows that you love him, and there God prepared a ram to offer instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." So not just an experience, but also he knows a lot about the Lord. He knows that the God is the Lord who provide. It's not something how he struggles. After this incident, he knows something about God. Whenever the Lord asks me to offer something, it's not because I have many, but because the Lord will provide whatever I need. So he knows something about God himself. So brothers and sisters, you may have gone through a lot of difficulties or experiences, but not just focusing on how you feel at that moment, but what do you know about him? Another example, let's look at Genesis 16. It's about Hagar. And Abraham said to Sarai, "Indeed your maid Hagar is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Why? Because Sarai has got no child. So she gave Abraham, her maidservant, Hagar. Once Hagar was pregnant, she becomes proud. So Sarai got really angry and dealt harshly with her. She fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. So in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur, and he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Let's look further down to 10, from 10. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are the child. You are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." Heard your affliction. The Lord has heard your affliction. "He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." So the angel appeared to Sarai, asking her to go back to Hagar, to go back to Sarai. Okay? But what after this incident, what happened? What did Hagar know about the Lord? In verse 13, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." I really like this thing. So after this incident, she was in the wilderness. She was running away. She must be felt hopeless and very lonely and no future at all. But at that incident, the angel appeared to her and spoke to her. And after that, she realized something. She was not alone. God can see her. He is the Lord, the God who sees. And then she learned something more, for she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" God sees you, but have you seen him as well? So brothers and sisters, we may have gone through difficulties, then we may realize, God sees me. He knows my struggle. He knows what happens to you. But do you realize, do you have the consciousness that he knows me? He sees me. He knows my struggle. Do you have faith in him? So he calls the Lord, he is the Lord, the God who sees. So not just feeling lonely, not just God helping him, not just God sending an angel. She realized something about God, knows something about God himself. He is the God who sees. Now today I'm going to talk about another name of the Lord. And before I tell you which passage it comes from, I wonder if you can tell me, okay? The name is, I am the Alpha and Omega. Rachel? But which passage it comes from? Revelation. But that's not all. The Alpha and Omega, what comes after that as well? It's a long name, okay? So let's have a look in Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 8. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Now this is a long title, okay? We can't cut it out. We can't just say, oh, the Lord is the Alpha and Omega. And that's, no, it's related to the second one. It's related to the beginning and the end. It's also related to who is, who was, and who is to come. And it's also related to the Almighty. Now we must ask ourselves, why don't God use this name previously in 66 books? Why does God only use that, show his name in the last book of Revelation? Why would that name appear there? And why would it be such a long title? It must be relevant to the situation then. For example, if I need someone to help me with mathematics, okay? So if you come to, hey, I'm qualified to help you. I got a BSc in mathematics. I got PhD in mathematics. I'm master. I'm professor in mathematics. I work in different universities dealing with mathematics. Then these are all related, isn't it? It must be related to what I need. It must be related to the situation. If you come to me, I need a mathematics teacher, and you come to me, oh, I'm good at biology. Not related. I'm good at chemistry. Sorry, not related. I can't employ you. So it's not related. So it must be related to the situation in the book of Revelation. And not just a part of it, must be the whole title. So we are going to know God, to know him as he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is, who was, and who is to come? The Almighty. Now, can you memorize this? Okay, now let's read it together. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is and who was and who is to come? The Almighty. Okay, can somebody take that off from the screen? Okay, let's try again. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is, who was, and who is to come? The Almighty. Okay, this is a long title of God. Okay, now, let's have put it back. Okay, now think about why would God appear, use that name in the book of Revelation? If we know that in that situation it's John who wrote the book of Revelation. At that instant, he was exiled. The time is about 93 to 95 AD. So all the apostles, most of the apostles, they are martyred. They are not there. It seems the blooming age of the church has passed. Now, during that time, the spiritual condition seems to be declining a bit comparing to in the beginning. So at that stage, John, he was exiled, very lonely in the island of Patmos. What would he feel? God, you have started so well. Now look, I'm all alone. How about your will? Is your will going to be completed? How about your work? Can your work continue? And what will happen after I died? Look at the churches around. They all have their problems. It seems gloomy, maybe, to John. I don't know. So maybe at that instant, the Lord appeared to him. Hey, you may think it looks gloomy in the outside, but look, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. At the beginning and the end, who is, who was, and who is to come? The Almighty. Okay, so before we go further, let's think about what does it mean, Alpha and Omega. We know Alpha and Omega is the first alphabet in Greek, isn't it? Alpha is the first one. Omega is the last. So in English term, it becomes A and Z, isn't it? A to Z. So it's not just A and Z, it's from A to Z. So when something has a beginning or something has an end, I don't have a string or something like that, it becomes... When something has a beginning and has an end, it becomes, I think, all I can think of is, because in eternity, there's no beginning and no end, isn't it? So when something has a beginning or an end, it must be within time. Okay? So no matter you say it's the creation or it's the work of God, in time, there's a start and there's an end. So, in other words, God has created time and He works through time from the early stage to the final stage. So the beginning and the end clarify what he means by Alpha and Omega to me. In other words, God has started something and he will finish it. Let me give you another example. Say if I have something in mind, I want to build a house. So in my mind, there are three stages. First of all, there's a planning stage. That is, in my heart, I say, what do I need? What's my desire? I need a swimming pool. I need a two-story house. So all things go in my mind. That's the planning stage without starting to do anything, isn't it? So maybe the architect will draw the picture, get the blueprint, blah, 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 plan all things. And yet on that side, nothing happens. So it's the planning stage. It goes all what's happening in my heart. Okay, now then I start the building stage. Then all the people come and dig, flatten the land, pour some concrete, and maybe start building step by step. Okay, so all the engineers, all the carpenters, blah, 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 traders come in, plumbers, electricians, all they coming in to do the building stage. And at the final stage, I have to finish the house. So maybe the painters, the people who put the furniture, interior design, and all this, even locksmiths, they come and do the finishing work. So it's the final stage. So not just the planning stage, the building stage, and the finalizing stage, okay, to make the house beautiful. Okay, so when I have a project in mind, I started it, I planned it, and I finish it. So from Alpha to Omega, planning stage is like that. Have you ever start planning something? I got a holiday coming. Where should I go? To China? To Hong Kong? To Europe? To United States? Okay, if you plan to go there, By plane, and then, or by train, or harbor cruise, I don't know. And then when? There are lots of planning involved. But the most difficult thing is, if I plan something like this, is that worthwhile? Is that valuable? Would I regret? If I plan to go to Hong Kong now, doesn't seem to be a good idea. Okay, all this chaos in Hong Kong. So if you plan something, would you regret? It's hard to do planning for me as well. Because once you plan something, are you sure it's worth? If I plan to go to Europe, would I regret, oh, I shouldn't come here. It's not as good as I planned. I should go somewhere else. So planning stage for me is not that easy. I can plan something, but it may not be really good. Okay? And the second stage is, even if I plan something, during the process, unexpected things may happen. I may lack the resources, the money to carry out the plan. I may lack the skill. I may lack of the technique to build it. Many, many years ago, I tried to adopt a dog from the RSPCA. And then I tried to build a fence, keep the dog outside the house. And then I tried to, you know, raise some pole and build some fence. But I want to save money, so I didn't use really good stuff. But after I built the fence can sway in the wind. It's not very strong. So, I'm not happy with the fence. But after I built the fence, later on the dog did not stay outside. The dog can move inside. So the whole fence is useless. So I have to pull it down and use the material for something else. So you see, in our lives, we make a lot of plans. And we make plans, it's difficult to carry out the plan, but sometimes after you finish the plan, you regret. The plan, sometimes it becomes it's not needed anymore, no use, out of date. Say if I my whole plan in my life is to invent the fastest balloon. So even if I can invent the fastest balloon, you will realize we don't need balloon anymore. We can use plane much faster. You see? So if I spend my whole life trying to make something, and even though I finish it, it may be useless at that time, after I finish it. Do you have such experience in your life? Your whole life planning for something, you work very hard for something, even though finally you achieve that, then you realize it's no big deal, it doesn't worth all the trouble. You see, so sometimes we regret for what we have planned. Now, we will regret for our plan because our plan doesn't work as good as, turn out it's not as good as we think, isn't it? But how about God Himself? He is the Alpha and the Omega. So what's His plan? I wondered. Or do you wonder, hey, God, I have my own plan in my life. I want to do this and do that. How about God? You have your own plan. What is your plan? I try to work out my plan in my life. I study hard. I work hard. How about you? What are you planning? What are you doing now? I try to achieve something, and later on, even though I achieve it, I'm not happy with it. But God, what will be your outcome of your plan? What is the final, eternal plan for you? Your plan and God's plan. Let me put it another way. Say if you plan to build something, build a big house, but if you are going to, you have your own plan, but the government has another plan. Oh, we are going to build another airport. So if your plan is to build a house near the airport, the government say one day we'll take down your house and build the airport. So your plan clashes with God's plan, your plan is going to fail. But if you know God's plan is something just like the government is building an airport there, then you will think, how can I plan myself to to fit into God's plan. You see what I mean? If we are just working so hard for our plan, one day we will realize it's meaningless, it's useless. We waste our time, we waste our life. But God, let me know your plan. And let my plans become your plan. Oh no, your plan become my plan. Let my plan merge into your plan. So I won't waste my life. That is very important. So we think, hey God, what is your plan? Why? What's the idea behind all this creation? So we have a quick look at God's project. Okay? How does it all begin? Maybe we can look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. In Proverbs chapter 8, it talks about wisdom as a person. So now we jump to chapter 8, 22 to 31. Some people say that I, wisdom, can be our Lord himself. So the Son of God, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his ways, before his work of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. So in the beginning, there was nothing. God is planning to start his project. Okay, so let's see what God is planning in his heart. Not my project, God's project. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. So it's nothing there. No fountains, no depths. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth of the fields or the primal dust of the earth. Continue. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. And he drew a circle on the face of the deep. Now this is a picture of creation. How the earth comes to place, the mountains, the heavens, the deep. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters will not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, so imagine there's a building site. The Lord is preparing a building site for something. This is the project of God. Have a look. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. So the Lord Jesus is the master craftsman. He is working in God's project. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. So why was Jesus so excited? Because during creation, God is going to create men. This is the starting of the project. God prepared the earth for man to come into existence. Now, if we jump to the very end, the book of Revelation, what God will be achieved? So quickly, we go to the second last chapter, Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 and 3. Then I joined, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. It's a city with people inside, of course, coming down from out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this city also as a bride, loving her husband. Okay, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. So in the beginning, creation, God was so excited. Men fall, redemption comes, and then in the new heaven and new earth, what happens? Tabernacle, New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And then the final stage, we can see God will be, God is with men. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. He will dwell with them. So in the future, we will be with God. So this is the plan of God. So can we know more about this kind, what people are going to be with God? How can we know about this New Jerusalem, the bride, the tabernacle of God? What does it represent? Can we have a look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. For it was fitting for him, Jesus Christ, to suffer, for whom all are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. So the people, the men, it says here, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So now we know a little bit more about these people, the men. Many of them in here, they are many sons. So in the future, after God's finished his purpose, Father, the God the Father, has many sons. God wants sons, brings them into glory. So this is one of the purpose. Can we look at another place? Ephesians chapter 1, 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Can we go back to just now, Ephesians 1, 22? He put all things under and gave him to be head over. Can we have 21 also? Sorry. Ephesians chapter 1, 23 as well. The church which is his body. Yes, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. So we can see Father has many sons. Christ got the body, isn't it? Can we look at another place in Ephesians chapter 2:22, to whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So for the Holy Spirit, he has got a dwelling place, a temple. So now we can know more about these people in the future. They are, for the Father, he has got sons. For the Christ, he has got a body. For the Holy Spirit, he has got a temple, a tabernacle. Okay? So in different aspects, talking about these people. So in God's mind, he is going to have a group of people. This group of people, they are sons of God. They are the body of Christ. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit. All closely related to God himself. So, this is in God's heart. Remember, during the building stage, we talk about who is, who was, and who is to come. So, he was there during the creation. So, this is his original idea. Never lost. And he will continue during history of mankind. Even today. And in the future, so who is, that means he is right now here to maintain this building process, continue. And he will finish it in the future, of course, who is to come. So knowing his name, who is, who was, who is to come, that means he started it, he look after this project going on, and he will definitely finish it. And he has the power, resources, the wisdom, the might, the strength to finish it because he is the Almighty. So you can see the whole name, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He started it, he's going to finish it. Who was, who is to come? So sometimes you see, when we carry some project, if you go to work, you have a project, your boss give you a project, but the one who started the project is not here. And you have to carry on something, you do not know why, what are we going to do? You are totally lost because the one who started the project is not here. Or sometimes the one who started the project is here, but today he's absent, he's sick. Then what should we do today? Then we got lost. And sometimes if he was here, he is here, but he won't be here next year. He's going to retire. And then your project, okay, hold on, when he retired, what will things happen? You see? So it's important for someone who started it, he carry out all the time, and he's going to finish it, the whole project. And our Lord can do this. If I started a project, maybe 10 years project, 20 years project, after 10 years, I may not be here. I'm going to, if I die, no one can finish my project. So you see the importance of who is, who was, and who is to come. He is following the project all the time, so this is in God's heart, he will finish it. So knowing God's project, there comes a responsibility. How should you react to God's project? You know God has a project, he has to do this, and you have your own project. Oh, I want to be a millionaire, I want to get famous. Your plan, your project may be has a clash with God's project. So whose project is going to stand? You have to decide. Someone see a poem engraved on the wall of a German cathedral. It says something like this. That is, when you know God something, you have a responsibility to react accordingly. Now, listen to this poem. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me the life and you lift me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and you love me not. You call me rich and you ask me not. You call me eternal and you seek me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. You see? So if we know so many names of God, oh, you are light and you can't see me. God, you are the way, but you're not following the way. God, you are wise, but I'm not following you. God, you are rich and you never ask the Lord. God, you are eternal and you seek him not. So one day God is going to condemn us. And God say, blame me not, you know all this, my name, and you do nothing about it, isn't it? So today, we know that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is, who was, and who is to come? The Almighty. He has a plan. And how are you going to live according in response to his plan? God is going to have, trying to bring many sons into glory. And what are you going to do something about this? God is building his church, his body. And how does it affect your life? How does it affect your direction? How does it affect you? Shall we look at what Jesus talked about? What he's doing now, and let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I also, that instant is Jesus asked the disciple, "What do people say who I am?" And then some say you are Elijah, some say you are blah blah blah, John the Baptist. No, and then Peter said, "Oh, you are the Son of the Living God. You are Christ." And then later on, Jesus told the one who received such understanding, then Jesus said to him, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." So, you see, the Lord Jesus is very clear in his mind. I will build my church. So, Lord, what are you doing today? I will build my church. The Lord is building his church today. And what are you doing here? Are you building the church of Are you building the church as well? Do you have a part in Lord's work as well? Are you building his church? And look at Paul. How does he relate himself to the work of God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder." He is also a builder. So everyone here if you believe in God and you know God has a project to build his church, you should take part in this work as well, construction, building as well. Wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. For Paul, evangelizing, preaching the gospel is building the foundation. And another builds on it. So other people build on it. You are building on it as well. Are you? When you come to work, I know some sisters working in Sunday school, serving in Sunday school. What is in your mind? Do you think, oh, somebody needs help, I just go and help? So in your mind, you are helping someone. Or looking after the kids. So in your mind, are you looking after the kids? Or do you have a higher vision? I'm a part in building the church. Someone say something like this. Oh, when you walk past, you see someone digging the ground. You ask him, what are you doing? He says to you, I'm digging the ground. If you ask another one, digging the ground, what are you doing? I am building a house. I'm laying the foundation. He sees something more. Not just digging the ground, but building a house. And if you ask another one, digging as well, doing the same job, then he may tell you, I'm building a house for God. And it's entirely different. They are all doing the same thing. So maybe in the Sunday school, all sisters are serving. Or I should say, they are doing something. But someone think, I'm helping so-and-so. Or I'm looking after the kids. Or in your mind, you know, I'm serving God. I have a part in building up the body of Christ. When you look at these young people, you are trying to give them Christ. You are building the body of Christ. So do you have a vision? Do you know what you are doing here? You may be serving in youth group, or you are just working there. Early morning, I come to arrange the chairs. Or am I doing exercise, moving the chairs? Or am I serving God? In my mind, I have a part in building up the body of Christ. So what you are doing, do you have a goal in your heart? Do you know what is the plan of God? Do you know what is the purpose of God? So you may be serving in different area in church. Someone may be serving in the AV. I hope they are not, I like electrical things and I like to do this. Oh, I like this. Or I like music. Or I like singing. Not because you like it, because in your heart you know you are serving God and his purpose. And that is meaningful. Can we look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6? He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the days of Jesus Christ. So again, it speaks of God has started something, he has begun, and he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we can know that God started something, he won't stop. He won't give up. He will completely finish his work. So shouldn't we do something when we know God has a project? Do you want to be a part in this project? God doesn't need you to have a PhD or BSc or BA in eternity. No use. He doesn't need a chemist, a psychologist, blah, blah, blah. Mathematician, blah, 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 in eternity. But he needs someone to love him and serve him. And do you know, so often we work so hard, but all our work cannot carry into eternity. But there's a promise in the Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Then I heard a voice from the heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. So brothers and sisters, in here we can see our works can follow us into eternity. So when you serve God, you may study very hard for yourself, and you serve God, the work you do for Him will carry into eternity. But you do something just for yourself, maybe it's just in vain. It won't last. It has no value. It cannot carry into eternity. So, knowing this, how are you going to change your direction, your life, or in your service to Him? Do you see what you are doing? Do you treasure what you are doing? So, He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is, who was, who is to come? The Almighty. He started something, He has a plan, He is going to work out, He will build His church. Paul is following Jesus' way, his project, to build his church. Everyone follows to build his church. So if you want to follow God, you know what God's want, and what you are doing today can be related to God's work. And that will follow the work, the labor, their works follow them. It won't be in vain. So this is what I want to share this morning. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank You that You have a will and You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Not just You planned, but You carried out. And You never change and You will never give up. You are the one who is, who was, and who is to come. You will make sure Your plan will come to completion, perfection. And because You are the Almighty One, we can trust that you are going to finish Your plan. And we pray that our lives, how we live our life, can be related to Your plan. We pray that we serve You, and the works will follow us into eternity when we come before You. We thank You for today. We ask that Your Holy Spirit continue to enlighten us, to remind us how we should live our life. We thank You for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.